second session for today, talking about what's new in Windows 10 management and store. It's a repeat of yesterday. I came into my session yesterday and had the wrong deck. I pulled it up here today and yesterday's deck came up instead. So I had to do a little bit last minute shuffling around, but I think we've got the right deck this time and we're going to talk about management and store at this point. So we want to kind of start off just with a general positioning statement that Windows has the best management capabilities for businesses, which has kind of been our historical take. I mean, we've been putting effort into Windows management technologies for as long as Windows has been around, going back 20, 25 years. I mean, we started off simple with things like login scripts and really going back in time to those types of things on Windows for work groups and older operating systems, but we've continued to add more capabilities over time. We've added things like group policy and additional settings via WMI and PowerShell support and all those types of features that are still there and still important. But we're getting to the point now where you need more choices because your needs are evolving. And as a result, we want to add more choices into the operating system to provide you with some additional capabilities to meet your changing needs. We're not using Windows the same way that we used it 20 years ago. 20 years ago, it was a PC on your desk, under your desk, a monitor, a keyboard, a mouse. Today, it's laptops and tablets and people that are traveling to coffee shops and hotels and using their machines from home and from work and lots of just mixed use cases for these devices. They're not always connected to your corporate network. They're connected in different ways, potentially even during the course of a day. They could be connected initially in the office, then at home, then in a coffee shop, then in an airport, and so on from there. So we want to try to provide some additional capabilities to address those new scenarios while making sure that we continue to support the existing scenarios as well. So it's not about just trying to change this overnight into something new. It's about providing new choices. So we want to make sure that what you have today continues to work with Windows 10, and we know that it will, using group policy, using WMI, using System Center, all of those things will still be there, but we want to enable new scenarios with things like mobile device management, Azure Active Directory, and tools like that that can be hooked into your management infrastructure to provide you with these new capabilities. We also want to be able to extend those capabilities to the Windows Phone devices as well, because it's not just a PC environment anymore. So we want to be able to manage phones in the same way. So when we look at choices, we've got a few now. On the identity side, we have Active Directory and Azure Active Directory. How many of you are using Azure Active Directory already? A fair number. Office 365, Intune, and a lot of our Azure-based services use Azure Active Directory for authentication. By linking that together with your existing Active Directory environment, we can make sure that you can have kind of this cloud-based identity provider and your on-prem Active Directory working together to provide identity services. For management, we've had Group Policy, System Center Configuration Manager, and tools like that for a long time. Now we want to add in MDM, whether it's Intune or third party, we'll provide the capabilities in the operating system to allow it to be managed via MDM. For updating the OS, we've had Windows Update for consumer OSs, for consumer devices, WSUS for corporate devices, or System Center for corporate devices. We also want to provide something that kind of sits in the middle of those, so we'll continue working on Windows Update for Business as well to provide kind of a cloud-based ability to patch your existing systems. And we really need to support all the different scenarios because it's not just about corporate devices anymore either. So supporting BYOD is going to be a key one for us as well. So we've got all of these different pieces and you can mix them and match them into different scenarios. We don't expect you to choose just one. We would expect you to use a scenario that fits the way the device is being used. So you may have a large population of machines that just sit on the corporate network all the time. or they're routinely connected to the corporate network, and you want those to be Active Directory joined, managed using group policy, managed using System Center. But you can have additional groups of machines that roam the world, that aren't typically or ever connected to the corporate network, but always have a connection to the internet. For those, we can join them into Azure Active Directory, manage them via MDM. So mix and match, depending on the scenario, try to profile your users and the devices that they have, and manage them in the appropriate way. We look at these scenarios kind of by the level of capabilities. We've had the basic management style for a long time where we could use Exchange Active Sync and Windows Update, primarily for BYOD devices to give you access to email. But most people want more than that. On the other end, we had full control using Active Directory Group Policy System Center, WSUS, all of those tools working together to give you full management capabilities. But it was fairly heavy. It only was really supported with company-owned devices, and it required a fairly consistent connection to the corporate network in order for all those pieces to work. Now we have a lightweight scenario that sits in between, where we can join a machine into Azure Active Directory, manage it using mobile device management, update it through Windows Update directly, but still have management capabilities over those updates. We can do that via MDM by approving updates that Windows Update should install. And as we move forward with Windows Update for Business in the coming months, we'll provide additional capabilities around that as well. Through this lightweight mechanism, we can support company-owned devices. We can also support BYOD. So you can start to take these BYOD scenarios beyond just access to email to let them run corporate applications, make VPN connections into the corporate network, to do more productive things with the devices. When we look at all the different management features that are in the operating system, we've got a few different components that are in the core OS. Windows Management Instrumentation, WMI, it's been in there for a while. It exposes information to management tools like Config Manager to give you information about the device. We have remote management capabilities, Windows Update Agent, Group Policy Client. All of these different pieces are built in and continue to be enhanced in Windows 10. We also have a significantly enhanced mobile device management component, agent, whatever you want to call it, included in the OS that provides these MDM capabilities that we'll talk a little bit more about as we get into this. We've then historically had a stack of products that build on top of that, first on Windows Server with Active Directory, Group Policy, and WSS, and then with separate products, Config Manager and MDOP, layering additional features on top of that. So that's kind of the traditional on-prem. Now we add in the cloud services with things like Azure Active Directory, Azure RMS, Windows Store, Windows Update, and Intune. All of these can provide kind of an alternative to that traditional model. But let's talk a little bit more about the traditional. We want to be able to take a Windows 10 machine and drop it into your existing environment and use it without having to completely upgrade your infrastructure. We can do that. If you're running the current versions of Config Manager, Config Manager 2012 R2 supports Windows 10 management and deployment with their latest service pack. Same thing for System Center 2012, latest service pack, full support for Windows 10. System Center Configuration Manager 2007, which still has a few months left in its lifetime, will support managing Windows 10 with a hotfix that they'll be releasing in the next couple of months, but it won't support deployment of Windows 10. That's okay. It didn't support deployment of Windows 8.1 either, so it's kind of left those operating systems behind, but at least you can get management in place for your Windows 10 devices as you're upgrading to the later versions of Config Manager. They'll also release a new version, System Center Configuration Manager vNext, for lack of a better name at this point. That'll be coming out in the fall and will add support for new Windows 10 features to make it easier to configure and control those new capabilities. We also want to make sure that Windows 10 works with existing server releases. So if you're running Active Directory, WSUS, whatever on Windows Server 2008 R2, 2012, 2012 R2, all of those will work just fine. There are no specific functional requirements, schema requirements. You'll be able to drop Windows 10 in place. Now, as we release some new features farther down the line, there may be some additional schema and functional level requirements, but for right now, to use the core Windows 10 functionality, your existing Active Directory is fine. For OS deployment with MDT 2013, we released MDT 2013 Update 1. That came out a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, we had some issues with that, so we're in the process of fixing those, and we'll be re-releasing it in a couple of weeks. But it fully supports deploying Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8.1, Windows 10. The ADK tools that go along with that, pretty much the same situation. We didn't want to get you into a situation where you had to use the older version of the tools to deploy Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, and the newer version of the tools to deploy Windows 10. So you can leverage the new ADK, the new MDT, and the latest Config Manager to manage all the different operating system versions that you have in place. Of course, eventually we want you to be running Windows 10 on all of those, but that's not something you do overnight, so you need to be able to support the older ones as you're transitioning to the new ones. On the MDM side, we've added a lot of additional capabilities. The MDM support that was in Windows 8.1 was primarily focused on BYOD. It provided the base set of capabilities that enabled an organization to manage a BYOD device. Not a whole lot beyond that. We did have some additional capabilities on the phone side to do device lockdown, to give you kind of a single purpose device for various line of business scenarios. With Windows 10, we've taken those and made them very consistent. So it's really the same code, the same capabilities on both phone and desktop. And we've greatly expanded those capabilities to give you more control over the device. That's not to say that we're going to provide every single setting that you currently have in group policy on top of MDM. There are 3,600 settings in GPO today. No one has any idea what all 3,600 of those do. If you're setting more than maybe 100 of them, you're probably the exception. So we're trying to simplify things. We're trying to create a set of MDM policies that are simpler, easier to manage, and don't require a Microsoft certification to understand. The types of things that we're looking to add, first, we want to have consistency across all of our different OSs. Mobile, desktop, and even IoT will have the same MDM capabilities. And then we'll expand beyond that in all parts of the lifecycle. From the initial enrollment perspective, where we want to make things as simple as possible, through the inventory, the configuration, the app deployment, all of these new capabilities will be added into what's being provided in Windows 10. We'll build integration with the new business store, which we'll talk about in a little bit. We'll provide support for full device wipe, so if a device is lost, you can reset the PC back to an original configuration, which we could do in the past for phone devices, but not for PCs. So we're really just beefing up the capabilities to give you what you would expect for a internet-managed device connected into an MDM service. If you want to see the full list of the new settings that are available, there is a set of documentation out on MSDN. So if you go to aka.ms/MDM10, you can expand out the full list of the CSPs, the modules that provide these settings, and it will list each one and all the details that go along with those. The MDM vendors are still adding support for these Windows 10 policies, so if you don't see them yet in the tool that you may be using, whether it's Intune, AirWatch, MobileIron, etc., talk to them and see where they're at as far as implementing all these different settings. So let's talk a little bit more about identity then. We have identity choices where we can use Active Directory or we can use Azure Active Directory. In the case of Active Directory, you sign in via domain controller. You all know how that works. You've been doing it for years. For Azure Active Directory, you sign in directly to the cloud. So your authentication request goes to Azure Active Directory. It validates and sends back yes or no to the client device. while you can do both of those scenarios kind of independently of one another with directory synchronization set up between the two, so all your Active Directory accounts are synced to the cloud, you can also use this with your existing Active Directory joined devices. Most of you have Active Directory joined devices. You have Azure Active Directory set up. You're using, say, Office 365 today. Today, when you try to access Office 365 from Outlook, it will prompt you for your credentials. I've already logged onto the machine using Active Directory. It's asking me for those same credentials again to access my mailbox in Office 365 because Windows, prior to Windows 10, had no understanding of Azure Active Directory and the fact that my Active Directory account and my Azure Active Directory account were one and the same. So with Windows 10, we've added that awareness. It will automatically associate your Active Directory account with your Azure Active Directory account and be able to sign you in to these Azure AD services without you needing to type in your ID and password again. So you won't go through this routine every month or however often you had to change your password, where you change it once for Active Directory, and that gives you access to all the internal things. And then you get prompted again by Office 365, you get prompted again by the Intune company portal, you get prompted again by Visual Studio Online. All these other services would prompt for your ID and password since the password changed. Not anymore. Now they'll be able to recognize that my AD account, my AAD account are linked. So that's going to be the primary scenario for you right away when you're using Active Directory with these AAD-based cloud services. But you could also go directly to Azure Active Directory as well, join the device into Azure Active Directory, just like you would join a device into AD today, and then sign in directly with an Azure AD account. The interesting part is that either way you go, you get access to the resources on the other side. So if I take a device, join it into Active Directory, and sign on using an AD account, I get access to AAD-based resources. If I take a machine and join it into Azure Active Directory, but then come into the office and plug it into the corporate network, I also get access to AD-based resources. There's an awareness in Azure Active Directory that, oh, there's a domain controller out there. I should ask that domain controller for a Kerberos ticket so that I can then access internal resources as well. So it's going to give you single sign-on capabilities either way. Now, there are differences in the way that they're managed. There is no group policy for an Azure AD joined machine. You would need to use an MDM service to provide the management capabilities for an Azure AD joined machine. You would get settings roaming, or you will get settings roaming with Azure AD in the fall. We haven't delivered that yet. That's something that we're working on so that you can get the same Microsoft account settings roaming type capabilities through Azure AD, even when you're not Azure AD joined. So even if you just got a machine joined into Active Directory, as long as it recognizes that, oh, there's an Azure AD account out there for you, it can sync your settings to Azure rather than using OneDrive, which is what a Microsoft account uses today. So you can do either of those scenarios for organization-owned machines. Join it to AD, join it to Azure Active Directory. For BYOD devices, though, that's too heavy. We want something lighter weight. So with both of those, with the BYOD devices, we want to provide a simple device registration process through a simple, like a wizard. You just say that I want to add a work or school account, put in your credentials, and that both registers the device and enrolls it in an MDM solution just by typing in your user ID and password. That's as simple as we want it to be with these personally owned devices. They can use a Microsoft account for their personal stuff, but they would add a work account in order to access company resources. With Azure AD, we'll set up the synchronization. If you've ever set that up before, it's a fairly simple process to go through. You need to have the right admin rights to your Active Directory, but you download the Azure AD Connect utility, walk through a simple wizard, give it the admin password for AD, the tenant password for your Azure Active Directory tenant, and tell it to sync the two. It will periodically sync all the changes from your on-prem Active Directory into the cloud. There are some choices on how you implement that too, because you may not be comfortable with synchronizing password hashes into the cloud. So if you wanted to, you could set up Active Directory Federation services and host your own ADFS servers that Azure AD would direct authentication requests to. It validates the user, then tells Azure AD, yes, the user provided the right credentials, and then it can return that back to the client that's asking for validation. How many of you have seen the Azure Active Directory portal inside of Microsoft Azure? A few of you? So we can take a moment and look at what that actually looks like. So when you sign into Azure, in this case, I've got a variety of resources available to me. So I've signed in using my Microsoft account because all of my Azure items are associated with that particular account. But I have virtual machines, I have directories, I have all kinds of different things set up in Azure. But for Azure Active Directory, I have what? Six different domains set up here? It says seven, I only see six, but maybe its count is off by one. Each of these are effectively a separate tenant, a separate domain, if you want to think about it in Active Directory terminology. All of these are free. So I need to have an Azure subscription to sign up for Azure Active Directory, but there's no cost associated with the basic and free versions of Azure Active Directory itself. So you sign up for the subscription, you put in your credit card, but your credit card never actually gets charged for any of this. Fortunately, I've never been sent a bill yet for any of this. I have an MSDN subscription that provides me a certain amount of credits per month, which allow me to run my virtual machines, but my Active Directory domains never get counted against that credit. So I've got a few of these out there, including this Contoso West domain tenant, where I can drill in and see the accounts that I have set up. These correspond to the domain that I have running on my little server here. They've all synchronized up to the cloud. I didn't bother creating too many accounts because I was lazy, but each one of these can be administered directly here in Azure AD. If I made any changes to these accounts back in Active Directory, they would synchronize to the cloud as well. So I've taken one of those and I have joined a machine into Azure AD already. Let me see if I can find that machine. So I'm actually signed in to a machine that's been joined into my Contoso West as John Smith. If we look at this particular machine, I could open up a command prompt, ask it, who am I? And it will tell me that I am Contoso J. Smith. This machine has never talked to a domain controller. It really has no idea that my Active Directory is out there. It's joined into the cloud. It's authenticated me directly from the cloud. So easy enough to set that up. Just to look at one other little item, let's take a machine that's starting up for the first time. So this is the UBI process that Windows goes through as part of the first run experience. It's going to ask me how I want to connect my machine. Do I want to join it to an Active Directory domain? Do I want to join it into Azure AD? So I could say I want to join it into Azure AD, and then I can put in my work credentials. In this case, I'm just going to use my Microsoft account because it's nice and easy. It's going to redirect me to the ADFS sign-in page for Microsoft because we don't synchronize password hashes into the cloud ourselves. I can put in my current password. Oh, and it wants my phone because I need to validate myself. I don't happen to have a smart card in the machine, so it can't use that. So I need to validate myself using the phone. So I can say to sign in with my phone. And let's hope it does something. Okay, it says it's calling my phone. There, my phone is ringing. Oh, and I always do that wrong.
Verification denied. Thank you for using Microsoft Sign-In Verification.
Fortunately, it gives you two tries. So it validated that I am who I said I was, and then continues on to join the device into Azure Active Directory, which is one piece of the puzzle, but it also enrolls the device into Intune at the same time. So just by putting in my ID and password once, I can take care of both of those pieces. So now I have a machine where I'll be able to sign in using my normal corporate credentials and also get policy pushed down by Intune. That would include additional apps that Microsoft IT wants to make available to me, VPN connection definitions, certificates so that I can connect to the Wi-Fi network on our corporate network. Everything that's required for this machine to be productive and used in a corporate manner is being pushed down by the Intune service. So as far as I'm concerned, this completely provisioned this machine so it's ready for me to use and be productive with. So now at this point, I'm joined. I can put in my credentials again to sign in for the first time. And it'll go through the process of installing applications and all the normal stuff from the first time login into Windows 10. It knows who I am, it will pick up my picture, all of that stuff is being provided directly from Azure Active Directory. So we'll let that run for a while. So if you look at this from the perspective of having one group of machines being used the traditional way, join into Active Directory, managed using group policy and System Center Configuration Manager, and then another group that's being managed using Intune and Azure Active Directory from the cloud, you want to make sure that you're not doubling your administrative effort. You don't want to have to define policies twice and create applications in two different places so that you can make them available to your end users. So the Config Manager and Intune teams have been working on this vision of being able to do a single pane of glass. So we can have this administrative experience where I create an app once, I define a policy once, and regardless of how that machine is being used and managed, it will push out the necessary things to it. Nice setup. At the same time, it also adds support for managing non-Windows devices. Not that I'm a non-Windows guy, I'm very much a Windows guy, but certainly being able to support those types of devices and still have one administrative console makes your life easier. So that's the vision that they're working toward. So let's talk a little bit more about the traditional then, group policy. We have added some additional group policies to support Windows 10 features, including the start screen and start menu, a few policies around Microsoft Edge. Nothing like what's available for Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer has like 1,600 policies itself. Edge has something like a dozen. So much smaller set of policies. We'll continue to add additional policies to that over time, but there are some policies there. We can configure PIN settings. We can push out applications. We can configure the Windows Update peer-to-peer configuration options. So all of those new policies exist. We have published a spreadsheet on the download center that lists all of the new policies that are available and a set of ADMX files that you can download and use to update your existing domain environment with the new policies for Windows 10. So there's a KB article that explains how to do that. You just need to search for updating your central policy store. It will walk you through the steps needed to do that. Since most of you are probably running Windows 7 today, it's also worth repeating the types of enhancements that we made in Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 to make group policy better. In Windows 8, we added better support for direct access so that we didn't think that these machines were on a fast network connection. We could detect that they were actually on a slower WAN-type connection. We added support for larger registry files. We added the ability to do remote group policy refreshes. We improved the background processing to make it more efficient. So we had those capabilities in Windows 8, and no one cared because no one actually deployed it. Windows 8.1 then came along, and it added some more things, like being able to cache the policies locally. You can actually sign in to Windows 8.1 and never have to talk to a domain controller for the policies because they've all been cached on the local device from the last time you logged in. It will check to see if there are any changes, and it will download any changes if it finds them, but it's much faster to log in when you don't need to pull these policies from a remote server. We also added more IPv6 support, so if you're connected to printers or VPN servers over IPv6, those will work better as well. We've also updated the MDOP tools. The MDOP tools are just another set of capabilities that layer on top of the Windows and System Center capabilities. Advanced Group Policy Management, a new service pack was released for that, that adds some additional PowerShell commands to help with administrative scenarios around that. It's designed to help with the change management process for making updates to your group policy settings. AppV, a new version of that, AppV 5.1 was released. It has a new HTML-based admin utility. It makes it easier to edit packages. There's a variety of enhancements in AppV 5.1, so we hope most people will move to that one. DART, the Diagnostic and Recovery Toolkit, has been updated to support the new version of Windows PE that was released in the ADK for Windows 8 for Windows 10, so that new release is out. MBAM 2.5 SP1 was released with a few minor enhancements, some additional language support and things like that. So you can make use of that one, or if you've already deployed MBAM 2.5, that will work just fine for Windows 10 as well. And then UEV, the User Experience Virtualization, which is designed for roaming settings from desktop applications if you're using multiple PCs, that's been updated to version 2.1 SP1, so a new service pack for that one as well. So a few service packs that you would need to deploy, but no big changes overall to support Windows 10 for these tools. So let's shift then to the Windows Store. How many of you used the Windows Store with Windows 8.1? Fair number, that's a good sign. The Windows Store in Windows 8.1 was very consumer-centric. It allowed you to sign in with a Microsoft account and purchase apps with credit cards. That's pretty much where it stopped. With Windows 10, we want to add additional capabilities to let you do volume purchases, to give you more options on how to distribute applications, to provide license management capabilities, and even a private store that you can host within the normal Windows Store app with your own applications there for your employees to choose from. That's not available today. It's something that we're still working on. We hope to deliver that in the fall, but it is something that will start showing up here in the builds that are going to be released here shortly through the insider preview process. So we know that there were challenges in Windows 8.1 using the Windows Store itself. We'll hopefully address those. And most customers that wanted to use the Windows Store apps would do so using Config Manager or Intune with the company portal. When we move forward to Windows 10, first we have to converge our store experiences. So we use one store for Windows, phone, and Xbox devices now. And we want to add in this new piece, the Business Store. The Business Store is not something the end users would access. The Business Store is something you as IT administrators would use to acquire apps for your organization. I want 100 copies of this application. I want to make these apps available as my curated list of apps to people in my organization. So you sign up for the Business Store. using an Azure Active Directory account. So if you haven't set up Azure Active Directory yet, if you want to get into the business store, you'll have to do that. It's a simple process to go through. The bigger challenge for most organizations will be to set up that synchronization process between your Active Directory and your new Azure Active Directory tenant. That will probably get the interest of your security teams and networking teams and people like that. So plan on that taking a little bit. But once you've done that, you can sign in to the business store using Azure Active Directory and start acquiring apps for your organization. Initially, we'll support free applications primarily. Microsoft and other third parties have published a lot of free applications that you can make use of. Paid application support will come over time. The challenge with paid applications is that not only do we need to support different payment types like credit cards and purchase orders and invoices and those types of things that companies expect, but we also need to handle all of the tax rules, which are incredibly complicated because we have apps being purchased by someone in the US that might be deployed to a person in the UK, but the company is headquartered in Switzerland. How the heck are we supposed to figure out what type of sales tax to collect on purchase applications like that? So as they work through all of those challenges, they'll start introducing the paid application support, but initially the free support will get us past the first hurdle of being able to make these applications available inside of the organization. We need to be able to provide flexible ways of distributing these apps. It's not about just going to the Windows Store and grabbing them over the internet. We'll provide more options than that, and we need to make it as easy as possible. So to access the business store, you would access businessstore.microsoft.com. URL is always subject to change, but that's the current location. If you're wanting to try it right now, it's still in a limited preview, so it's only open to a few TAP customers at this point, but we'll take a look at it in a minute. But the basic flow is that you acquire the apps that you want. You then figure out how you want to deploy and manage the licenses. So we've still got the Windows Store. The Windows Store itself will still be used with a Microsoft account primarily. It's still going to be the place that consumers and end users go to get applications. The business store allows you to acquire apps for the organization and to also publish those back to the user. So we'll provide options for that. And you'll still be able to do the company portal approach. So if you're using Config Manager or Intune today to provide a company portal for making apps available for self-service in your organization, you can continue doing that as well. So let's talk a little bit more about these scenarios. First, we want to be able to deploy apps in various different ways, like online simple. We want to be able to go out to the internet, grab an app, and install it. Offline, we want to be able to grab the app install files, download them to the machine, download them to a machine on your corporate network, and then push them out yourself. Using Config Manager or some other software distribution tools, take the installation files for those apps and push them out. Or even put them in your images. So download the installation files, add them into MDT or Config Manager, build your image, sysprep it, capture it, deploy it. You could also push them out using MDM, using Config Manager, using PowerShell scripts. There's a variety of different ways that you can go about doing that. If you want to, you can even leverage the business store and the Windows store to deploy your own line of business applications. So your developers can sign up for a DevCenter account, submit your own company apps into the DevCenter, and say to just make those available to your business store account. So that way you can see the applications that are available and deploy them using these flexible means that we already listed. The nice thing about that is you don't need to worry about certificates or side loading or anything like that. All of it is being done using the store's infrastructure. It takes care of distributing all of that for you. So when we break it down, these are the scenarios that we're talking about. Two big categories at a high level, online and offline. Online means we're going to be using Azure Active Directory. So if you've got Azure Active Directory in place and all your users have Azure Active Directory accounts, Great, you can use these online scenarios. Offline scenarios, the only person that needs to have an Azure AD account is you, the administrator who signs into the business store. So you sign into the business store, you get the installation files, you download them, and you deploy them yourself. The users don't need Azure Active Directory accounts. It doesn't matter what kind of accounts they're using. They could be Active Directory joined, internet disconnected. They don't need anything like that. In the case of online, we're going to track the licenses for you. Offline, you're going to take care of tracking the licenses. So for some applications, it could be that the ISV looks at that and says, well, we like the scenario where the store is tracking the licenses. We don't really want unlimited use of this particular application inside an organization. So an ISV could opt out of these offline scenarios, but our hope is that most ISVs will look at this and say, all right, we'll make these apps available to our trusted enterprises that we've already validated through our normal verification process as part of the store sign-up, and we can make the apps available to you in that way. From an online perspective, we can acquire an application and then make it available through the private store. It then shows up on the client for them to select it and install it. We can deploy it using MDM or Config Manager just by using the equivalent of a deep link that we have today with Windows 8.1. Or we can even directly assign it to a user. We could say this Azure Active Directory account should be allocated one license for this application. They then can get a notification where they click a link and it installs the app for them. Offline scenarios, we acquire the app. We download the files, we deploy them using whatever mechanism we want. For imaging, we can run Dism or PowerShell commands to put the apps into the image. MDT has been updated to support these imaging scenarios to automatically install the apps as well as the license files that go along with them. Config Manager and Intune will be able to do similar things once they've added support for that as well, something that's still a work in progress. Manual, you can always do this yourself using Dism or PowerShell commands. So all of these just work with the AppX and AppX bundles that you can download, as well as the dependencies and also a license file, which is just an XML file that says here, your organization is authorized to install this application. So let's take a look at it. Let me switch back over to my machine here. And if we go to businessstore.microsoft.com, I can sign in using my Contoso account. And what I end up seeing is basically a web version of the Windows Store client. I can see all of the applications that are available, and I can acquire those applications. If I click on Manage, I can see the apps that I've already acquired. We have a nice list of those applications. And it indicates whether these are licensed for online or offline use. The first three are online, so those can be used with Azure Active Directory accounts. The last one is offline. In the online cases, I could select one of those and then choose to deploy it by assigning it directly to a person, just by saying that I want to assign it to individuals, or I can make it available to the private store so it's available for self-service. You can tell on this one that that's already been done because the only option here is to remove it from the private store. So that app is available through the private store on client machines. For the offline application, the behavior is a little different. Instead of being able to assign the licenses there, it lets me download the installation files. We're still working on that particular experience, so it's probably going to change before it's available in the form that everyone wants to use, but you can download the package itself, you can download the license file, you can download the individual dependencies as well for that application, and then deploy them as you need. We can also set up integration with an MDM service. So we can say that we want to allow this MDM service to have access to our business store to be able to see what applications are available, which ones have been purchased by the organization. So instead of you going into the business store and doing some work and then going over to Intune and doing some more work, you can just set up a nice simple process of sucking this from one to the other. So Intune would be able to see the list, get it to the point where you can just check off the items that you want, and it can add those into Intune. Same thing with Config Manager. We want to work with them to provide those similar capabilities. Whether those are available right away in the fall or whether those are a little longer term is still a work in progress, so it might take a little bit to deliver that level of integration, but we do want to enable integration with these management tools to make that as simple as possible. For the private store, which isn't actually working in the current build, so it takes me back to the current homepage, but for the private store, you can configure what the category should say in the Windows Store client on the machine. So today, when you launch the Windows Store, it will show you a bunch of different categories, and then to the right, you would see one that shows up that says Contoso. If you selected that one, it would then be able to show you the apps that have been published through the store. If I wanted to acquire another application, I really just need to find it. Like maybe I want to acquire Yammer. I can say that I want to get it. Right now it's just offering me a choice of online. That's something that's still being worked on as well. And then it asks me, well, what do I want to do with it? Do I want to add it to the private store? I can take care of that right away. Do I want to assign it to individuals? Well, if I did that, then eventually we'll provide a simple way of doing that right from here. Or I could just say distribute later, and it gets added into our list of apps that we can manage. So now Yammer is at the top of my list. If I wanted to make it available to one of my users, I could do that just by saying that I want to assign it to individuals. And hopefully I can search for a particular user. Maybe not. If it could find it, we could then assign it. There he is. So we can say assign that to the user. So if you want to do direct assignments, that's easy enough. To make it available through the business store, we just need to click the link saying to add it to the private store. For the other scenarios where you're doing offline, you would be managing the licenses yourself. So all you would be doing is downloading those particular pieces. So that's what we're working on with the business store. We're adding the ability for organizations to acquire the apps that they want, to manage the licenses. The one piece I didn't show is you could go into a license that had been assigned to someone and revoke it so that it could be reassigned to someone else. So that will be supported as well. We'll be able to pay for these eventually using purchase orders, credit cards, invoices, those types of things. We'll provide management support through MDM services like Intune and products like Config Manager, really just trying to integrate this into your current management solutions and to integrate these business store apps into your overall environment. So just to summarize, to get ready for Windows 10, you don't have to do a lot. I mean, most of it is about getting the latest service packs installed for Configuration Manager, for the MDOP tools, getting your Active Directory KMS activation servers updated so you can activate Windows 10. Minor things like that, which are fairly typical for each new OS release that we come out with. Beyond that, though, if you haven't already set up Azure Active Directory, you should try it out. Set it up, start experimenting with that, see how that can add new scenarios into the mix. Also work on trying to figure out what scenarios make sense for your different groups of users. If you have some users who are better suited for more of an internet style of management, you can start working on ways of doing that. It's not always going to be Active Directory Group Policy System Center. There can be Azure Active Directory and MDM scenarios mixed into there as well. With the business store, We'll open that up in the coming months to make those applications available. Start working with those applications, adding them into your images, deploying them using Intune or Config Manager, doing what you need with those apps as we make them available. So with that, are there any questions about managing Windows 10 or the Windows Store based on what we just talked about? Please say no. No, not really. Sure.
Side loading.
It's a good question. The question was, well, side loading was only available in Enterprise and Windows 8. It actually was expanded to Pro in Windows 8.1 as well, as long as the machines were domain joined. With Windows 10, every SKU can side load. So now it's just a slider, a checkbox in the settings. If you go into Settings, Windows Update and Recovery or something like that, there's a For Developers link where you can enable side loading. That can also be done via group policy. There's no more side loading keys, no more restrictions really on any side loading scenario. So we've eliminated all that, much simpler than it was in the past. So the question around, was it about targeting different groups of people? Yeah, and that's one of the limitations that we'll have up front. The question was, well, would I be able to use the private store and assign applications to different groups? With the initial release of the private store, it's pretty much all or nothing. You publish an application, it makes it available to everyone in your organization to select that application. There's no group targeting. So if you wanted to be able to do the group targeting, you'd still want to leverage Intune or Config Manager with the company portal, because they do support targeting groups. The private store is just wide open at this point. Something that's being looked at for the future. So you were asking about needing ADFS? Yeah, basically you've got two options. You can, well, DirSync is the old version, Azure AD Connect is the new version. You have the option of synchronizing password hashes into the cloud. If you do that, then you don't need ADFS, because Azure Active Directory by itself can validate the password that's been provided. If you don't want to synchronize password hashes, then yes, you need to set up ADFS to be able to do that. All right, if there are any other questions, come up front. The people are running for whatever's next, so we'll let everyone escape. Thanks for attending.